Another one, Acts 5:3, the story of Ananias and Sapphira. You all know that story. Peter said, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit and to keep back some of the price of the land?" Peter immediately saw that Satan had filled Ananias' heart. Well, how did that happen? Oh, well, there was Ananias and Sapphira and Satan sitting at the breakfast table. And Satan said, "Don't you all get sick of hearing about good old Barnabas? Good old Barnabas sold the land and gave the money. Why don't you all do something about that?" No. No, not at all. You see, Ananias and Sapphira were having breakfast. And Ananias said, I am so sick and tired of hearing about Barnabas and him giving that property. It seems like it's all, I know exactly what you're talking about, dear. That's all they talked about at the women's meeting yesterday was Barnabas. I wish we could do something like that. Well, we have a piece of property we could sell, but we certainly couldn't give all. Well, we don't have to give all the money. And it looked like they were just sitting there talking it over. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says, "Ananias, why has Satan filled your heart to lie to the Holy Spirit?" All right, now in closing tonight, to try to cement this one truth, this is so vital for you to see that these are not your thoughts. These are not your thoughts. I'm going to tell you a story to finish up this evening. And it's a story about a young girl that I'll call Mary. Mary is 21 years old. She's a beautiful young girl. But she has some grungy green highways patterned into her brain. We find out about the grungy green highways when people come in for counseling. We sit down and talk to them. Well, what was Mary's background? You see, we have to go back. Now listen carefully to me. I so want to communicate to you. Okay, let's look at Mary's background. Mary's mother, she's patterned, okay? These are patterns. I won't say pattern this and pattern this, but she's patterned. She is a dominant, outspoken, strong woman. She's a super perfectionist, and she too can let it all hang out. So, if Mary is vacuuming the floor, there's always a string she left. If she mashes the potatoes, there's always a lump left. If she makes the bed, there's always a wrinkle left. Nothing Mary ever does is right. Mary cannot perform to please her mother. Now, Mary's learning about herself, remember? Mary has a sister, Jane. Jane does everything right. Mary does everything wrong. For example, they bring home their report cards. Jane offers hers first to her mother. 3 A's, a B, and a C. C, darling, in social science? Well, what in the world? What is wrong with that teacher? Well, now, don't you worry about it, honey. I'll go up and I'll talk to the teacher, and if the teacher won't allow you to make that up some way, I'll talk to the principal. And if the principal won't, we'll go to the superintendent. Just don't you worry about it, honey. And then Mary offers up her sacrifice. 3 A's, a B, and a C. C? C in political science? What have you been doing in there, young lady? It's very obvious you haven't been applying yourself. Well, let me tell you, young lady, you are grounded for 2 weeks. Furthermore, I'm going to have a conference. Do you see the difference? It was that way in everything. Comparing the two, and Mary always fell short. Now, Mary's daddy, a passive man, because you see, 9 times out of 10, when there's a strong woman, there's a passive man. Mary's daddy never held her on his lap and read stories to her. He never took her hand and walked through the park. He never held her on his lap and said, "Oh, you're so pretty, honey." He was fighting for survival in this home with this strong, domineering, outspoken woman who controlled him. Finally, he left. And when he left, mother tried to kill herself. Now that's the horrible situation. that Mary's living in. What did she learn from that? Well, she learned things like this. From her mother, the perfectionist mother who never praised, she learned, "I cannot perform to please. I am inadequate." From her sister, with whom she was constantly compared, she learned, "I'm worthless. I can't measure up to Jane. I'm inferior." From all of them, but especially from her dad, you see, gals get so much of their image from their dads. From her dad, she experienced loneliness and rejection and self-hate. "I am unlovely, undesirable, no hope," and self-destruction. Now, those are her patterns. I wish we could spend a little more time, but our time's about gone. Now then, let me tell you an incident in Mary's life. Please don't judge me now as an actress, but just try to let me communicate to you. Try to show you. Mary is at home. It's Friday. It's Friday the 13th, which is bad for some people. And this was bad for Mary. It had been a bad day. It's 4:30 in the afternoon. And Mary's getting ready to go out for the evening, only not with a boy. No boy would want to go out with her. Why? Because she's unlovely. She learned that from her daddy, from everybody else. No boy would want to go out with her. She's going out for the evening with a girlfriend. And she's in the bathroom, and she's getting ready to go. And Satan begins to communicate to her. Only it's not through a loudspeaker in the ceiling, where this big male voice comes booming in and says, "Hi there, Mary. This is Satan talking to you. Brother, are you ever a loser? You can't do anything right. You've never done anything right in your life. Nobody loves you. Nobody cares anything about you. And I am going to talk you into killing yourself this afternoon." Over and out, Satan. Please listen to me now. I want so badly for you to hear me. I wasn't there, but I know exactly what happened. Exactly what happened. Because you see, now I'm Mary, and I'm standing in front of my mirror, okay? And I'm getting ready for the evening out. And as I'm standing there, thoughts are going to begin to come to me with first person singular pronouns perfectly correlated with that right there that I've learned about myself. So here I am. Look at that hair. Stringy stuff. I wish it was like Jane's. Jane has such pretty hair. Well, Jane's just pretty. Look at me. I wish I looked like Jane. Oh, dear. Wish I were going out with a guy tonight. I wouldn't know what to do. Make an idiot of myself, I'm sure. Be fun to try, though. And I hope I get that job I applied for. I hope I get that job I applied for. I need a job so badly. I couldn't keep it even if I got it. I did something wrong. I've never done anything right in my life. Why should I think I could keep a job? I'm such a burden to Mother since Daddy's gone. I don't do anything to please her. Poor Mother. Poor Mother. I just wish I were gone. I wish there were somewhere where I could just go and get away from everything. I'm basically just a very unhappy person. So unhappy. I don't have any friends. Nobody cares about me. I'm all alone. I could kill myself. I could go out to the garage and I could close the door and I could start the car. I've always heard that's so easy. And she did. She did. Do you see that that wasn't a monologue? Do you see that that was a dialogue? There were two people there. Do you see that that young girl was talked into that? Do you see that? What's he saying to you? How is he controlling you? What patterns is he using in your life? Oh, dear Lord, I ask you to show people. Make them see what I've been trying to share with them. It's so urgent, Lord. It's so urgent. There are desperate people. There's someone in this audience tonight. Those very thoughts have come to. Suicide. Get it all over with. Lord, you teach them. In Jesus' name.